All right, welcome to Christian Overcomers, and thank you for joining us for this Bible study. Deuteronomy 29b, First Amendment and America's Demise. Does the First Amendment protect Christianity and freedom, or has it been responsible for the breaking up and fragmenting of America? Before we begin answering that question, I must first tell you that I love this country. I've always loved this country. I consider myself a patriot. I even served 8 years in the Army, part of which was overseas as a gunner on a gun truck. And I've always had a burning love for this country. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate our founding fathers and the sacrifices they endured in their best effort to give their posterity a government wherein we could be free and worship our God. And, you know, I don't think the world's ever seen such a wonderful group of dedicated men. Men that didn't really think of themselves all that much, that were willing to sacrifice their comforts and the pleasures of life for us, for their offspring, for the future generations of this nation. But I must stress, that doesn't mean they were perfect. We can't just look at them with rose-colored glasses and say everything they did was divine. For they made some mistakes when writing the U.S. Constitution. How do I know that? Because there are certain parts of it that stand in direct opposition to the laws of God. And yes, at the same time, there are many parts, and I feel the framers did their best to try to, or at least a certain portion of them, did their best to try to frame the Constitution according to the Word of God. Nevertheless, with some errors. And we're going to point those out here. And not too many people are willing to take this on and do this, especially those who have considered themselves Christian conservatives most of their life. Because some people have knee-jerk reactions and they'll just shut somebody off for even mentioning that the U.S. Constitution could have some parts that aren't perfect. And I'm not talking about this, we're not going to be talking about this progressive idea. And, you know, liberals look at the Constitution as being imperfect for completely opposite reasons, of which I'm going to bring up here today. Unbiblical reasons. We're going to mention some of those points because they do not stand up to the test of God's Word. You know, everything we teach needs to be checked and verified according to the Word of God. Otherwise, if we just follow the traditions of men, and yes, even the Constitution can have some traditions of men in it. If we blindly follow the traditions of men without verifying them, cross-checking them, holding them up to God's Word, then we're not being too wise. Well, let's take, for instance, one of the things we're going to talk about that doesn't quite measure up to the standard of Almighty God is the First Amendment to the Constitution. Sure, yes, it has helped in the past protect Christians or give Christians the right to worship their God without having some overbearing denomination take over the entire nation and say we must worship God this certain way. But at the same time, it's promoted heathenism, promoted or given given license to heathenism, false religion, secularism, and you name it. And this has proven the promotion or the protection of false religion has proven to be quite destructive to America, especially the religion of man, of secularism, humanism, which is a religion. And these are things we'll talk about either today or as we finish up this book of Deuteronomy, and even when we move on to some other books, because they are important issues. And then, you know, I must say, because the First Amendment contradicts the entire purpose of the Constitution, when you really think about it. The Constitution is, in their words, in the words of our founders, was to form a more perfect union. Well, you cannot unite a nation together if it worships different gods. That breaks a nation apart. It doesn't work. Unity and diversity is a falsehood. In every nation it's been practiced, that nation has never lasted very long. You look at, or it has ever lasted without falling. You look at Babylon, Rome, and so forth. They failed. They failed. Because diversity does not work. It eventually breaks apart. You can only force it to gel together for so long. And for those of you who have studied Daniel chapter 2, you are familiar with that idol of man and how iron in the toes, the iron does not mix with clay. You can't force things to go together that don't belong together. Anyways, I will go more into that as we get into this study. But let me ask you this about the first, going back to the First Amendment for just a second here. Is it more important or should we protect, should we be more concerned with protecting the promotion of false religion? Or should we be worrying about protecting Christianity? In other words, is it more important to follow the First Amendment to the United States Constitution than it is the first commandment of Almighty God? Think about that. These things always boil down to common sense. It's when men use, you know, big words and sophisticated arguments and stuff, that's what brings confusion. This is common sense. This is common sense. and then some would say, but Pastor Ben, since we're in the New Testament times, nations and individuals don't have to follow the laws of God anymore. That's absurd. And that's a false teaching that Satan has crept in to Christians to deceive them, to pull them away from the will of God, for the law of God is the will of God. And you know what? Think about this. All throughout the book of Revelation, as well as just about every other book of the Bible, every other book of prophecy, it foretells of God bringing judgments upon individuals as well as entire nations for willfully and unrepentantly violating His laws. What does that tell you? That tells you that individuals and nations ought to follow God's law. They ought to use God's law as the law of the land. We have a constitution. It's called the Word of God. Any other constitution or covenant we make with our communities, our states, or nations should never contradict this covenant, this Bible. This Constitution, this tells us how to form our civil societies. And, but man is always trying to outsmart God. It's ridiculous. And yes, at times, even some of our founding fathers, they fell prey to this. And you might be thinking, well, Pastor Ben, how can you say that? Hey, many of the Bible greats, all of the Bible greats fell short in one way or the other. Moses fell short. Even at one time where God was even going to strike him dead, David committed a gross act of adultery, and even worse yet, sent out his soldier, the wife of the woman he committed adultery with, out to battle to so that he would surely die, which is really murder. As well as, you know, you got Elijah the prophet. He had shortcomings. So we don't look at their shortcomings in the Bible. We don't look at the David and say, oh, yeah, he was the great man of God, the man after God's own heart. And he committed adultery, so I'm gonna commit adultery because he did. That's ridiculous. Well, the same principle carries forth over to the founding fathers of America. Yes, godly men. Not a conspiracy of evil, wicked men trying to build a completely godless nation. Sure, there were elements that were trying to do that. Thomas Paine, for one. If you've ever read his book, The Age of Reason. in fact, if you're a new Christian, I wouldn't read it because it's cast full of demonics to cast that cast doubt and even mock our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And yet he was in there, probably instituting some of these things that don't line up with the Word of God. But there's another part of the Constitution that really doesn't, that when you look at it and you line it up with the Bible, you see a problem with it. Most of us looked at it for years and years, never saw a problem with it because we didn't really see what it did or what it declared. And sort of an indirect way, but nevertheless, if you're a Bible student at all for any length of time, you'll recognize it just like that. The part I'm talking about, and maybe I'll pull it up on the screen there for you. You can see the page of the Constitution there. And you see there, in big, bold letters, "We the People." We the People. Now, we're going to talk about it when we get into it, but in that introduction, when it says "we the people," it basically declares that the source of freedom and liberty comes from the people, rather than stating openly and plainly that it comes from Almighty God. You know, instead of saying "in the beginning God" or something like that, or "we do gather together in order to obey the laws of Almighty God and to form a more perfect union." It says, "We the people grant this." Well, I got news for you. We the people is not the authority. We the people does not have authority to make laws that contradict the Word of God or the laws of God. You know, and if you really look at it from a biblical standpoint, that statement there is sort of arrogant. And it even goes as far as placing the people as America's national god. And sort of, in a sense, makes the Constitution, certain elements of it, a form of, it makes it into a form of idolatry. Because they should have been much more clear. Now, this doesn't mean all of our founding fathers, all the signers were anti-Christians or something like that. No, they made some severe mistakes. Just as Joshua did when he entered into the promised land and he was supposed to be intolerant of all other false religions, not a religious hypocrite, something like that, or something like, you know, not burning people at the stake because they don't, approach God in the same way you do. Not anything like that. But as far as accepting and even allowing false religion to flourish. I'm talking about other religions like Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, and things like that. Secularism, the worship of man. When you really get down to it, I know somebody's saying right now, but Pastor Ben, you're promoting a theocracy. You know what? Every single government is a theocracy. It doesn't matter if it's a republic, a democracy, or what it is. It could be a theocracy, an Islamic theocracy, a Jewish theocracy, a Christian theocracy, or even a secular, humanistic theocracy. A theocracy really means it's whoever's God makes the laws. Well, when we the people makes the laws, that becomes a theocracy of the people. You see what I'm saying here? You know, the bright minds at some times have sure made things complicated. All law is religious, for it protects the morals. It's designed to protect the morals and the beliefs of the nation's God. Now, if that God be our Lord Jesus Christ, or God Almighty, Yahweh, then it would protect the laws of God. But today we have a government that protects the laws made by we, the people. We the people aren't righteous enough to make the laws. All our representatives are supposed to do is enact legislation to uphold the laws of God, to correctly interpret them, and to apply them in case law. Not make their own laws. It's ridiculous. Anyways, so we talked about that. And I know some of this may sound strange to some of you right off the bat, but give it time. Think about it. Look at it with an open mind and look at these things and align it to the Word of God before you just shove it to the corner and worship the Constitution rather than worshiping Almighty God. Is the Constitution bad? No. In many respects, it's been a blessing, but in some respects, it's been a cursing. For our nation is suffering because of it today. Today. Well, quite a long introduction there, but hey, I enjoyed giving it. I hope you enjoyed listening to it. It sets the stage for what we're going to talk about here. But before we begin studying here in Deuteronomy 29, let us open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just pray for wisdom and understanding in your word. Help us to eliminate those traditions of man or any other kind of idol we place in front of your word. And help us to rethink some of those things that we've always thought to be true when they're not true. And help us use righteous judgment, righteous discernment, and not to go overboard and be some crazy lunatic, running around just complaining about everything or seeing conspiracies behind every single bush. And we just love you, Father. We thank you for your word. And again, we ask for wisdom in it. In Yeshua, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, please turn with me, if you haven't already, to Deuteronomy 29. And we're going to finish it today. And we're going to start with verse 16. For you know how we have dwelt in the land of Egypt. You remember that. And how we came through the nations which you passed by. And you have seen their abominations and their idols. Wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them. You saw all the filthy and disgusting things these nations did in the name of their God. Well, look at what's going on today. What does God consider an abomination? Well, we've got homosexuality running rampant throughout every single Christian nation on this earth. Just the other day, the Queen of Britain signed into law nationalizing homosexual marriage. If you don't think the curses of Almighty God are going to come down upon His people, those 10 tribes that migrated north over the Caucasus Mountains, later were called Caucasians, and became the Christian nations of the world, then you're sorely mistaken. You know, we're becoming like Sodom and Gomorrah again. But anyways, God says, you saw those things. You saw how filthy they were. You saw how that you didn't want to repeat those things. Just by looking at them and their misery and their failure and their filth. Verse 18, lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations. Lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. In other words, what God is saying here, this isn't direct opposition, or I should say the First Amendment to the Constitution, which gives freedom of religion, which, you know, originally I've always thought that our founders intended it to be freedom of denomination. And, you know, I don't know if that's the case or not. If it was, they should have been much more clear and not so vague. But anyways, because God says here, you know, this is the first commandment. We're supposed to do everything we can to keep the gods, the false gods of other nations and other peoples out of our land. We're not supposed to tolerate it. We're not supposed to tolerate it. Are we supposed to force people to go through a certain religious ritual to approach approach the Almighty God? No, we're not. Christ did away with the centralized church, with most of the rituals, blood sacrifices, and so forth. But are we supposed to allow other peoples to come into our country and bring their culture as well as their holidays and so forth? No, we're not. That divides our nation. That destroys it. It's treasonous, even if you would, because it's a root. It beareth gall and wormwood. In other words, it's poison. It's like injecting poison into your body. That's what we do. We're committing suicide. We commit suicide as a nation by the promotion of false gods. That's why I said the first Amendment is in direct opposition even to the Constitution itself, which declares that we the people are gathering together to form a more perfect union. Well, that First Amendment creates division. It creates up, because you cannot have a nation united under many gods. It doesn't work. It eventually breaks apart. Think about that. These things are simple. God's word, his law, his thoughts. Well, sometimes his thoughts are above ours, but the things we're supposed to understand are always simple. It's man that always complicates things. That, you know, wants to sound so intelligent, got a better way, a more perfect union. Hey, this is the perfect union. Right here, God's word tells us how to form the perfect union. It tells us how to unite in the body of Christ. And tells us that we're supposed to be spreading the gospel of his kingdom rather than humanism, rather than democracy, which places the people as God rather than God as God. But we don't want a theocracy, Pastor Ben. Well, yeah, you do. You want a theocracy of the people. You want the people to make its laws, the people to make its morals. Well, then that places the people as God. Come on. You know, I got to tell myself that. I had to tell myself that at times. Come on, get with it. If something doesn't seem right, it's not right. For many of you I know, hearing me say these things, you look back at some of these things and you look back at the First Amendment, and you're like, yeah, I kind of thought that seemed a little strange. I kind of thought there was something that just didn't align with God's word. There was a little bit of friction there in your mind, but then you passed over and said, well, it's great though that it at least protected, gave me the right to worship God the way I see it, the way I see fit. But is it anymore? Is it anymore? What has it led to? Would it have been better to have, if America would have followed in the footsteps of the Puritans and the Mayflower Compact than the Constitution? Think about that. Think about that. It would have. It would have. In other words, God says, hey, I don't want there to be a man, a woman, a tribe, or anybody among you to be lured in by these false gods. There's no place for them in your land because they're seductive. And it came to, and it come to pass when he heareth the words of this curse that he bless himself in his heart. This is an important verse, my friends. Pay close attention. And it come to pass when he heareth the words of this curse that he bless himself in his heart, saying, this is what he says to himself, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart to add drunkenness to thirst. In other words, hey, I'm a libertarian. I walk according to my own ways, according to our own laws, and I'm going to have peace. I'm going to have liberty. You see how simple this is? You see why months ago I had been ripping on libertarianism, godless libertarianism. Now, I'm not talking about people who want the government to stay off our backs so we can worship God and promote God. I'm talking about that brand of libertarianism that says we should all be able to do whatever we want to do. Worship whatever God we want. As long as we don't harm somebody else. That's ridiculous. It harms the nation. When the nation doesn't have the same God, because it commits suicide. And well, number one, it's because then the nation stands in opposition to God. So that's what it says, I walk in the imagination of my heart. And this even goes back to, and why I was saying that the preamble to the Constitution should have been worded something different other than putting in bold capital letters, we the people do get together to basically grant liberty and freedom because of our special contract. No, it doesn't happen that way. The writers of the Declaration of Independence knew that it came from God. Why didn't they continue down that road and make sure the Constitution aligned completely with the Word of God? Well, because man falls short. Man gets deceived. Man gets deluded. Gets convinced of other things. But in other words, you could place this here, we the people, in this sense, walk in the imagination of our own heart to do whatever we wanted. We decide what's moral. We decide what's just. We don't want a God or a religion telling us what to do. We're God. That's what we're saying. The Constitution should have been stated something, again, it should have said something like, we the people gather together to give glory to God, just like the Mayflower Compact did. Our purpose is to advance the kingdom of Almighty God and to promote liberty and justice by adhering to the laws of God. In our communities, in our nations, in our states, and in our nation. Wouldn't have that been better? Wouldn't you rather live under the theocracy of God's law or the rule of God's law rather than the rule of men's laws that take away liberty, that take away freedom, that bring in tyranny? Oh, but don't say that word theocracy. Well, hey, if you believe in democracy, you believe in a theocracy. You just have a different God. Verse 20, the Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him. And the Lord shall blot out his name under heaven, even down to an individual. God does not like those who walk according to the imagination of their own heart. Those who set themselves up as their own God. Those who think they can make their own moral standard. And yes, this even applies to the entire nation, as God said, to a family, to a tribe even. And are we suffering the curses because of us walking according to the imagination of our own heart by promoting those, giving license to people to violate the first commandment by instituting the First Amendment? Yes, we are, and we are paying for it by the curses of Almighty God. But Ben, Pastor Ben, hasn't America been blessed? Yes, been blessed, not necessarily because of some of the documents that we have to place our nation together, but because of the good people within the nation trying to follow God's law. But now that the people have gone astray for the most part, we're losing those blessings. We're losing those blessings. And well, God says, I'm going to blot out his name from under heaven, and the Lord shall separate him unto evil, unto calamity. Look at what's happening today. Out of all the tribes of Israel, according to the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law. But those curses are Old Testament. No, they're not. Have you ever read the book of Revelation? Man, you read the book of Revelation and it's these curses mentioned in the covenant multiplied. God hasn't taken away his law. Christ said in Matthew chapter 5, I did not come to change one jot or tittle of the law. I only came to fulfill certain parts of it, certain requirements of it, such as the blood sacrifices, the rituals, and being the kinsman redeemer. In fact, Christ followed the letter of the law, and he was the only one that could do it. Again, sometimes it takes a little bit of common sense and just to focus on God's word to eliminate all the confusion that we're bombarded with. I mean, all the different nonsensical arguments I hear about why Christians aren't under the law or shouldn't follow the law. Hey, we're not under the curses of the law if we repent. But if we don't repent, and we don't even make an attempt to follow them, then we are under the curse of the law. Well, for the law always stands. The law is the will of God. So to say that the law is done away with is to say that the will of God is of none effect anymore. Think about that. Christians, this is serious stuff. I say this because a great majority of Christians today believe the law of God is done away with. What happens because of this? So that, verse 22, so that the generation to come of your children that shall rise up after you, and the stranger that shall come from a far land shall say, when they see the plagues of that land and the sicknesses which the Lord hath laid upon. In other words, when we see what we're seeing today, starting to see today, and that the whole land thereof burneth, or the whole land thereof is as brimstone and salt and burning. When might this happen? Well, have you read about the seals, trumpets, and vials of the book of Revelation? Most notably, the first four trumpets that talk about wormwood and different things being burned up by objects coming from outer space, called meteors, comets, or fragments of them at least. That it is not sown, nor beareth, nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboam, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath. In other words, look at what's happening today. Do you think God's going to allow us to continue on celebrating homosexual marriage and treating it as equal and placing it up on a pedestal? No way, my friends. No way. We're in for it. We're living during the cursed period of American history. Don't tell me God bless America when we refuse to follow His law. Because the curses have begun. Does God bless certain elements of it still, certain portions of it, certain communities, certain people? Yes, He does. Do we love our nation? Yes, we do. We want it to repent. We don't want curses. We're not damning America, for only God Himself could do that, and He's got a remnant here that's keeping this thing alive. And it's going to get good. We got some times coming. Many of you may be part in this restoration that's coming. The awakening of our people. Verse 24. Even all nations shall say, wherefore hath the Lord done this unto this land? Why did he do this? What meaneth the heat of this great anger? Then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which He made with them when He brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. You know what happens today is many of us have been guilty, I have in the past as well, of forsaking the covenant for the United States Constitution in certain respects. Why do we continually fight for the Constitution? More so than we fight for the covenant of Almighty God. Think about that. Which is the holy document? God's word? Or an attempt by men to form a special contract to promote liberty and freedom and so forth? I think you know the answer to that, my friends. And I think even if you're a little bit irritated by this study right now, you know deep down inside that this is right, that what we're saying is right, because it's the Word of God. We've forsaken the covenant by placing other things ahead of it. And it really all comes down to man, whether it's democracy, whether it's a document written by men. Because we have a constitution. God's Word tells us how to form civil societies, how to live our lives, which laws should be enacted to preserve liberties and freedom. But yet, we want to walk according to the imagination of our own heart. Let's just make our own laws up. We don't want to listen to God. For they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which He made with them when He brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. And even that same covenant was renewed by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. By His blood, He brought us back into that lawful relationship. For they went and served other gods and worshiped them. Namely, secularism, humanism. We the people as the authority rather than Almighty God, whom they knew not and whom He had not given unto them. Verse 27, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the land to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book, and they are coming upon our land today. The stranger is getting above us very high, like Deuteronomy says. We're becoming the tail. They're becoming the head. We're losing our children. Our economy's in turmoil. You name it, I could go on and on down that list. But I'm not going to, because you've probably done this study with us. If you haven't, go back and do it. Because that's one of the most important chapters in all of God's Word. And the anger, okay, all the curses that are written, again, but Pastor Ben, that's the Old Testament. Hey, have you read the book of Revelation? As well as the words of Christ. Specifically, I'll mention the words of Revelation in the last chapters of, I think it's Revelation 22. It says that any man who shall add or take away from this book, the prophecies in this book, shall be given the curses that are written in this book. It's all the same. The only thing Christ did to come to change was to give you forgiveness, because you can't follow the law perfectly, even when you're trying. And he came back to reclaim the house of Israel and Judah, and to reunite them into one stick under his headship. And he did away with all the blood sacrifices and rituals. Did away with the centralized church, other than being centralized under the headship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We don't have a pope. We don't have to go to the temple in Jerusalem anymore. We can approach the Lord, our God, in prayer through our high priest, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Yahshua. And the Lord rooted them out in their land in anger. It's happening. In wrath and in great indignation, and cast them into another land as it is this day. You might say, well, why are you so sure to be saying these things that you're saying? Well, in the fact, the verses we're reading support it. But when you go, because we need to have a new direction. Arguing to go back to constitutional principles is failing. Should certain parts be in there? Yes. But what we need to concentrate on doing is calling people to get back into the covenant of Almighty God, His constitution. And one of the reasons I say that, because in the end days, you might be saying, well, Pastor Ben, the end time is going to happen whether you like it or not. But you know what? Do you know what happens during the end times? Well, there's a group of people in Revelation 12 that throughout all the trials and tribulation, throughout all the end times, their mission is to hold on to the commandments of God. That's this covenant. The laws of God, as well as the testimony of Jesus Christ. So we never just sit around and just talk about the end times. Although we're supposed to talk about prophecy and stuff like that. But while we're doing so, we're supposed to hold on to God's law. We're supposed to promote it. We're supposed to teach it. We're supposed to protect it. We're supposed to guard it in all facets of our life, personal, national, you name it. We never stop. For it is the law of God, is the will of God. Verse 29. The secret things belong unto the Lord, our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Again, where does God reveal His secrets? Where does He reveal his will? Primarily in His law. And then you can go back to you go to the parables of our Lord Jesus Christ. Many of those parables really, in a sense, hinge onto this law. Either explain or expound upon it. Because think about it, when you look at God's laws and you dissect them, or you meditate upon them, you're sitting there looking at that law and you're saying, well, why did God do this? What was His purpose in putting this law into place? And then you begin to understand who God is. You begin to understand His mind. It's a fascinating thing, my friend. That's why when you read Psalms, I think it's 119, where it says, Lord, I meditate upon Thy law day and night. And that's what we should be doing. Not just working out formulas to try to find out when the end's going to be. Or something like that. Are we supposed to be alert? Yes. We're supposed to be on guard. Are we supposed to be anxious for our Lord to return? Yes. But in the meantime, we're supposed to absorb His word and try to do His will the best we can. Hey, do not miss the next chapter. Well, the next two chapters, actually. Chapter 31 is actually going to tell us, or explain to us, why 9/11 happened in the first place. Why there was a terrorist attack upon America. It's because of, it's part of the curses, my friends. It's part of the curses. And well, like we always close up every study, because, well, Christ, because these are the words of Christ, as he was tempted by the devil in Matthew chapter 4. When the devil used slick and sly things to try to deviate from God's word, Christ said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." So see that you digest it. See that you meditate upon it. Put it up on the pedestal, if you would. Because it is our Lord, the word is Christ, rather than the traditions of men. And be a Christian overcomer.
Christian Overcomers is brought to you by the tithes and offerings of our listeners. If you'd like to help support Christian Overcomers, you can do so by becoming a member for a $15 a month tithe, donation, or offering, simply by going to ChristianOvercomers.com. All memberships include unlimited access to all current and archived audio podcasts that can be saved and downloaded for listening at your convenience. God bless you, and thank you for your support.